I'm going to read a passage from Gary Steingart's Absurdistan, from page 32 to page 35. "You're Jewish?" Max said. "Nah," Rowena said, "but I've got friends." "What are you then?" Max demanded. "Half Puerto Rican and half German and half Mexican and Irish, but I was raised mostly Dominican." "Catholic then," said Max, satisfied she wasn't Jewish. "We was Catholic, but then these Methodists came around and gave us food, so we were like, okay, we're Methodists now." That theological discussion almost made me cry. In fact, I was crying quite readily and happily at that point, my tears dropping with fat thuds on my crotch, where the crushed purple insect was registering its presence. "Half Puerto Rican, and half German, and half Mexican, and Irish, and everything else besides." After her shift was over, I took her down the street to visit my outsized loft, and in ridiculous Russian fashion, immediately told her that I loved her. I don't think she heard me, but she was impressed by my lifestyle. "Dang, Jumbo," Rowena said, her husky voice bouncing off the hangar-sized living space. "I think I finally made it." She looked around my small collection of artworks. "Why you got all these giant dicks around the house?" "Those sculptures? Oh, I guess they're all part of a Brancusian motif." "You a fudge packer?" "A what? Oh no, although homosexuals do number among my friends." "What did you say?" "Homosexuals. Jesus Christ, man, who are you?" She laughed and punched me full on in the gut. "Just kidding," she said. "I'm playing hard to get with you is all." "Keep playing," I said, smiling and rubbing my stomach. "I like to play. Where you sleep, Jumbo? You mind if I keep calling you that?" "At college they called me Snack Daddy. Here are stairs that go up to my bed." My bed was a kind of muscular Swedish plank that grudgingly accommodated my bulk a la carte, but grunted pathetically when both Rowena and I tumbled upon it. I wanted to explain to her yet again, though this time in detail, that I loved her, but she was immediately kissing me on the mouth and rubbing my breasts and bellies with both hands. She unbuckled my pants, letting out a gust of stale, trapped air. She drew back and looked at me sadly. "Oh no," I thought, but all she said was, "You sweet." "I am?" I lay down on the bed completely. I was sweating and jiggling obscenely. "A heartbreaker," she said. "No, I'm not. I've never even really been with a girl before. At college, I only got a few hand jobs, and I'm 25, almost." "You a nice, nice man. That's what you are. You treat me like a queen. I'm gonna be your queen. That all right, Snack Daddy?" "Uh-huh. Show me what you got for Mommy." She started to pull hard on the billowing square sail I used as underwear. "No, please," I said, holding onto my goods with both hands. "I have a problem." "Your boy too big for me?" Rowena asked. "It's never too big for Mommy." I tried to explain to her about the zealous Hasids and their low-paid proxies at the public hospital, the butchers of Crown Heights. "Tell me, please, who in their right mind circumcises a fat 18-year-old man-child in an operating room reeking of mildew and fried rice?" I fought with all my mass, but Rowena overpowered me. My underwear ripped in two. The crushed purple insect shyly drew its head back into its neck. It would seem to the untrained eye that the cooey's knob had been unscrewed from its proper position and then screwed back into place by incompetence, so that now it listed at an angle of about 30 degrees to the right, while the knob and the cooey proper were apparently held in place by nothing more than patches of skin and thread. Purple and red scars had created an entire system of mountain ridge highways running from the scrotum to the tip, while the bottom had been so eviscerated by post-op infection that instead of being smooth, taut skin, it looked like a series of empty garbage bags fluttering in the wind. I suppose the crushed insect comparison had worked best when my cooey was still covered with blood on the operating table. Now my genitalia looked more like an abused iguana. Rowena bent forward with a globe of her stomach and rubbed my cooey with that soft surface. I thought maybe that was the only way she was capable of touching it, but I was wrong. She bent down with her open mouth and breathed on it for a while. My cooey straightened out and crept toward her waiting orifice. "Stop it," I told myself. "You're a disgusting creature. You don't deserve this." But Rowena didn't put my cooey in her mouth. She turned it over, found the most hideous spot on its underbelly, a vivid evocation of the bombing of Dresden. and for the next 389 seconds, a handy clock helped me count, imparted upon it a single silent kiss. My gaze traveled beyond the dark mound of her hair, past the Brancusian dicks lining the walls of my loft, and right out my double-pane windows. I floated above the city, glancing generously in each direction. The careless hooks and crags of Queens and Brooklyn, slivers of industry, quadrangles of brown-bricked terraced flats, the fanatic middle-class hopes of already darkened New Jersey tendering their resignation for the night, the carpeted grid of Manhattan sinking into the flat horizon, the garlands of yellow light, sharp, overreaching, that form the facades of skyscrapers, the garlands of yellow light, diffuse, flickering, that form the sprawl of tenements, the garlands of yellow light, swerving, opportunistic, that form the headlights of taxi caravans, the garlands of yellow light, aye, in their horizontal and vertical arrangements that form a final resting place for the collected hopes of our civilization. And to my father I say, I'm sorry, but this floating feeling, this yellow city at my feet, those full lips around what's left of me, this is my happiness, Papa. This is my pierogi. And to the generals in charge of the Immigration and Naturalization Service, who have been patiently reading this tale of the Bronx mixed-race girl and the overweight Russian, I ask, in what other country could we have found succor together? In what other country could we have even existed? And after getting down on my knobby knees, I say to the INS generals, please, sirs. I say to them like a child, please, please, please.